Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Gingrich, Paul, Perry, Santorum, step right up and vote in the New Hampshire primaries. Who will it be? Will it be Romney, Gingrich, Paul? Will it be Perry or Santorum? Who's the big winner, folks? Step right up and find out.
All right, you get my position. You know where I'm at. You understand what's going on. Now, of course, Rush Limbaugh, who says he doesn't listen to the Savage Nation, who was supporting Gingrich as near as a few weeks ago, is now attacking Gingrich, saying Newt is only in it to target Romney. I guess Rush is getting a transcript of my show, and that's good. It's nice to be copied. But, you know, instead of attacking each other and ripping each other to shreds, as they're all doing, they, of course, should be explaining to the average American out there why the dictator in the White House is so dangerous and why he must be replaced. They should be discussing today that he just granted amnesty to 200 or 315,000 El Salvadoran illegal aliens who were scheduled to be deported. He will not be sending them back to El Salvador, claiming that there was an earthquake and it would be a hardship for their home nation. Now, you and I both know why Obama is doing it. You and I both know that the secret plan of the Chicago gang is to make certain that as many illegal aliens vote for Obama as possible, since most Americans have detached from the good train Obama. They will not vote for this man again. They understand they've been lied to. They understand he's in it only for himself and his own party. Even if they're Democrats, they understand that the man is an egomaniac and that he and the First Lady are in it only for their own self-aggrandizement and for their party. And I'll tell you another thing. Most Americans today could care less about either party. The largest majority of thinking Americans are not tied to either party. They could care less if either party is destroyed. They don't care if the Democrats or the Republicans survive or not survive. They care about themselves, as they should. And they want leadership, as they should. And they want certainty in a time of uncertainty. And they want honesty in a time of lies. But they're not going to get it from this gang. The upcoming election is really not about any of those things. It's not about Gingrich attacking Romney or Santorum or this one or that one. It's about the most corrupt administration in American history. It's about an administration that seems to know no bounds with regard to its corruption. Now you say, well, I'm overreaching right now, just saying things. Let's start from the top. I woke up this morning and I couldn't believe what I saw. I saw that Obama let 215,000 El Salvadorans stay in the United States illegally, with the stroke of a pen. Now, this is a golden opportunity for Ron Paul. Ron Paul, the real conservative, to get up on his high horse and talk about Obama's granting amnesty to illegal aliens, a de facto amnesty, but not one of them is saying a word about it. Instead, it gets even worse. I read later in the day that Obama has taken the former president of La Raza, the race, and elevated her to a major staff position. He is going out full bore for the illegal alien vote. Full bore for the illegal alien vote. But it gets even better. I go to a website called Russia Today. Now, I don't know whether I'll be investigated by Homeland Security for going to Russia Today. But I went to Russia Today, and I found an article that should be on your website, but it's on my website. Big Sis Napolitano is monitoring conservative journalists in the United States of America. Did you hear what I just said? The useless Department of Homeland Security is keeping tabs on who is saying what on the conservative side of the aisle. Now, you say, well, they're monitoring all journalists. Nonsense. They really have to monitor ABC, CBS, or NBC, or CNN, which does their bidding? They're monitoring the minuscule small number of people who speak out against this government when this government steps out of line. And remember, it's the job of the people to keep the government in order. A government that is not kept in check will become an out-of-control rogue government. I have an excerpt in my hand from a book that I recommend called They Thought They Were Free by Milton Mayer, and it was written about the Germans between 1933 and 1945. The book is called They Thought They Were Free. You have to understand that what went on in Germany, what went on in every other dictatorship on earth, and what's going on right in front of your nose is going on here in America. It's not as if this administration wishes to become a dictatorship. It is this dictatorship that it is, and it's bringing you along step by step in ways that you can't even understand. I'll read it to you. What no one seemed to notice was the ever-widening gap after 1933 in Germany between the government and the people. Did you hear that? The widening gap between the government and the people. Does that ring true? What happened here was the gradual habituation of the people, little by little, to being governed by surprise, to receiving decisions deliberated in secret. Does that sound like Obama? Every night another secret? Every night another secret decision? To receiving decisions deliberated in secret. To believing that the situation was so complicated that the government had to act on information which the people could not understand. Or so dangerous that even if the people could not understand it, it could not be released because of national security. I'm talking about Germany in the 1930s. Does it sound familiar to you? I will go on if you wish, because it's happening to you right in front of your eyes. I'm not suggesting that Obama plans on creating death camps. I am telling you, though, that he's absolutely on the road to a pure dictatorship. He is fascinated by the power he is able to grab because no one has stopped him. When he's gone from A to B in a tiny step, he wasn't stopped. When he crawled from B to C, he wasn't stopped. When he walked from C to D, he was not stopped. So he's now bounding from D to E and E to F and F to G. I'm telling you what's going on, and I'll quote again from Milton Myers, They Thought They Were Free, the Germans 1933 to 1945. Would you like to hear one more sentence? Or is this too much for you because I'm not saying, Romney, Paul, it's Gingrich. No, I really think it's that Gingrich. Hey, that Santorum's moving up. Well, who's moving down, Wolf? Well, let's go over to New Hampshire to the old Granite State, and let's see what those crackers have to say. Let's go into an old coffee barrel and ask some crackers what they have to say about, Romney, Gingrich. Now, you have to ask yourself why Romney, Gingrich, Paul, why none of them are talking about Obama granting amnesty overnight to 315,000 El Salvadorans. Now, it's not called amnesty. They were scheduled for deportation. But he just said he's not going to deport them because of an earthquake that occurred several years ago in their home country. Do you think that this is not an example of what his plan is for getting reelected, which is using the illegal vote? To me, it's as clear as a bell. I told you this a year ago. But you see, it's done step by step, day by day, and most people couldn't understand that a dictatorship did not grow overnight. Do you think when Hitler was elected, by at that time it was 32-33% of the vote, that's the number of Germans who voted for 33%. Do you think overnight he created death camps? Do you think overnight he became a screaming mad dictator? He did not. It was done in ways you can't imagine. I'll quote again. To live in this process is absolutely not be able to notice it. Please try to believe me, he wrote, unless one has a much greater degree of political awareness than most of us had ever had occasion to develop. Each step was so small, so inconsequential, so well explained, or on occasion regretted, that unless one were detached from the whole process from the beginning, unless one understood what the whole thing was in principle, with all these little measures that no patriotic German could resent must someday lead to, no one more saw it developing from day to day than a farmer in his field sees the corn growing. One day, though, it is over your head. Your little men become your bosses and your dictators. All of these petty bureaucrats who you like to mock right now in the government are step by step becoming your little petty dictators, and you have no control over them. You have absolutely no recourse over them. You have no way to redress your grievances about what Obama is doing. I wake up and I have to go to Russia today, a website from Russia, And I can't believe I read Homeland Security is monitoring conservative journalists in my own country. They have a statement from the Department of Homeland Security. And here it says. It says the information can permit the identity of an individual to be directly or indirectly inferred, including any information which is linked or linkable to that individual. DHS, which does not know what its mission is, DHS is out of control. It's an out-of-control agency created by George Bush, by the way. It was created by George Bush, perhaps with decent intentions, although I don't really know what big government thinks. And right now, the DHS announces that the NCO and its Office of Operations Coordination and Planning can collect personal information from news anchors, journalists, reporters, or anyone who may use, quote, traditional and or social media in real time to keep their audience situationally aware and informed. What the hell does that mean? Why is DHS monitoring journalists? Why are they monitoring people in this country? That is not their job. Where is this intelligence collected by Janet Napolitano? Where is it going? Who is reviewing this data? Why are they doing this? Well, I said all I can say to you. The rest, of course, is not up to me. All I can say to you is this. Do you think that the day, did you ever believe, you liberals, is this what you envisioned when voting for Hope and Change? That you'd wake up to a fascist dictatorship under the guise of anti-terrorism? Is this what you liberals wanted, Hope and Change? Because you, too, will be caught up in this web. Make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it. If you think that it's only going to affect people who are conservatives or patriots or nationalists or right-wingers, you're crazy. You're out of your damn minds. Peter Niemöller was a cardinal in Germany who spoke for the thousands and thousands of Germans when he spoke after the war and said that when the Nazis attacked the communists, he was a little uneasy. But after all, he was not a communist, and so he did nothing. And then they attacked the socialists, and he was a little uneasier, but still he was not a socialist, and he did nothing. And then the Nazis attacked the school teachers, the press, the Jews, and so on, and Niemöller said he was a little uneasy at each step, but still he did nothing. And then when the Nazis attacked the church, because he was a cardinal and a churchman, he did something, but by then it was too late. You see, my colleague went on, one doesn't see exactly where or how to move. Believe me, this is true. Each act, each occasion is worse than the last, but only a little worse. You wait for the next and the next. You wait for the one great shocking occasion coming from Obama, thinking that others, when such a shock comes, will join with you in resisting him. You don't want to act or even talk alone. You don't want to go out of your way to make trouble. I won't read anymore. This is what your candidates in New Hampshire should be screaming about from the top of the Granite Mountain in the Granite State. Instead, all you're hearing is them attacking each other. Why? Because they're all in on the same gangbang against the American people. It does not matter which party they're in. It's big government crushing the average citizen. My opinion, I'll be back. There have been 16 so-called debates. Obama has not had to defend himself once. Do you know that there's another debate next week being run by Faux News Service? Faux News Service is running yet another debate next week, all in an attempt to undermine Romney, who has perhaps the only chance of defeating Obama. Now, whether or not he'll do the job we want him to do is another story. But you would think one of the candidates today would get up and say, wait a minute, Mr. President, you can't grant amnesty to 315,000 El Salvadorans, quoting an earthquake that occurred in El Salvador in 2001. This stinks to high heaven. You're doing this strictly to try and get them to vote, which I want to remind you is illegal. And when I'm president, I'm going to make sure that there's voter ID so that only American citizens vote. That would clinch the election for Romney. So you have to ask yourself, if I, a mere talk show host, know this, if I know what it would take for Romney to win, and yet Romney will not say it, then what do you conclude? Either Romney is a moron, and he's just a corporate empty suit, as many people say, which I doubt, or Romney knows that that's true, that the illegal alien needs to be curtailed in this country, or there's no point in having an election, and he's afraid of the Latino mobs, the Latino lobby, the Hispanic mob and the Hispanic lobby correctly, because the word is a little different. When you use the word Latino, it has a totally different connotation. It's a racial connotation as opposed to a demographic connotation. The Hispanic lobby is so out of control that the politicians are all catering to them right now, which I find to be astounding, that the Republicans are afraid of an illegal demographic. They would rather cater to an imagined illegal demographic than to a rock-ribbed conservative demographic. How do you explain that? All right, I've made my point. The polls close in about 30 minutes in the so-called Granite State, and I'm going to give you the results as they come in. Isn't that wonderful? What a few hundred thousand Caucasians think about the election in New Hampshire. That's what I'm sitting here again, looking in from the outside in. I feel again like a disenfranchised four-fifths of a citizen, unable to vote, unable to have my voice count. I can just imagine, even with this show, feeling those things, what you, the average American, must be feeling, watching all of these people from other states, disconnected from the mainstream of America, telling you who the candidate should be. I can just imagine. I can just imagine. All right, what would you like to talk about? Now, Florida, to make certain they get Sacramento, California, on the powerful KSTE 650 on the dial. Martin, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hello?
Martin, yes. Oh. You're on the radio. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Savage. It's an honor to speak with you. Listen, the Republicans are fooling themselves. If they think they can win this election with Mitt Romney.
Well, Mitt Romney could win if Mitt Romney started talking about Obama's granting amnesty to 315,000 El Salvadorans and talked about his appointment of Cecilia Munoz, the former director of La Raza, to a chief policy position. All he's got to do is say it like it is and he could win. Why do you think he's not saying it, though?
He's not saying it because big money's backing him. And
right, and big money is backing him and backing all the other candidates. It's all big money. And big money depends upon illegal alien labor.
Savage.
I don't know whether it's going to be Mitt Romney or Mitch Schlag who wins tonight. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. But the fact of the matter is none of them are saying what needs to be said right now. What Obama has done in the middle of the night, again, remember, New Year's Eve, he passed a law. New Year's Eve, while you were reveling, giving the government the right to arrest any American citizen on the suspicion of violating any kind of homeland security, terrorism, who knows? Whatever they want to say, they can arrest you. Went without a shot, without a word from a Republican. Now he grants amnesty to 315,000 El Salvadorans, claiming that an earthquake in El Salvador in 2001 is the reason. He's not calling it amnesty. He's saying they're giving them a reprieve from deportation. It's unbelievable to me. This is a wide-open opportunity for the Republican field to run right across the field with a touchdown against the Obama administration. They could do that today. They could do it tonight. They could do it right now. And yet, they're not doing it. And why are they not doing it? Because, as one of the last callers indicated, both political parties are owned by big money, and big money needs illegal alien labor. Illegal alien labor is fundamentally dictating this election, and anyone who goes against illegal alien labor is not going to win. That is why even Ron Paul, by the way, who is perhaps the most conservative in some ways and the most socialist liberal in others, that is why Ron Paul, the clever doctor that he is, has said almost nothing about illegal aliens. Have you noticed that? Have you heard one word coming out of anybody's mouth about the illegal aliens? No. And yet this, to me, as a talk show host, with my stethoscope being more accurate than any pollster in America, the number one issue emotionally in this country are the great millions of illegal aliens in this country. That is the greatest emotional issue that is not being exploited by the Republican field. Houston, Texas. Darren, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, love you. Love your show. I want to tell you that you are the only person speaking out about this, drawing these parallels to Nazi Germany in the 1930s. And most Americans, Doctor, unfortunately, won't understand your references because they've never been taught history. You are 100% correct. Hitler, everybody thinks Hitler was this horrible dictator, which he was. But he didn't seize power. It didn't happen overnight. It took him years to be, and he was given the chancellorship. And then he slowly took over the Reichstag. And then he passed all the laws that stripped the citizens of Germany.
Yes, it was done. It was done step by step. And some people saw it but didn't say anything. But listen to this from that book by Milton Meyer. They thought they were free. It's an amazing thing because everyone listening to the show is going to identify this. He says, your friends put you down as pessimistic or even neurotic when you say something against your government. They try to intimidate you. So you're left with your close friends who are naturally people who have always thought as you have. And now in small gatherings of your closest friends, you feel that you are talking to yourselves, that you are isolated from the reality of things. This weakens your confidence still further and serves as a further deterrent to what? It is clearer all the time that if you are going to do anything, you must make an occasion to do it. And then you are obviously a troublemaker, so you wait and you wait. And you're waiting for that one great shocking occasion from the government to occur when tens or hundreds of thousands will join with you, but it never will come. That's the difficulty. If the last and worst act of the whole regime had come immediately after the first and smallest, millions would have been sufficiently shocked in Germany. If, let us say, the gassing of the Jews in 43 had come immediately after the German firm stickers on the windows of non-Jewish shops in 33. But, of course, this isn't the way it happens. In between come all the hundreds of little steps, some of them imperceptible, each of them preparing you not to be shocked by the next. Step C is not so much worse than step B. And if you did not make a stand at step B, why should you stop? Why should you at step C? And so on to step D. And one day too late, your principles, if you were ever sensible of them at all rush in upon you. The burden of self-deception has grown too heavy, and some minor incident, hardly a minor incident, collapses it all at once, and you see that everything has changed and changed completely under your nose. The world you live in, your nation, your people, is not the world you were born in at all. I can go on. I don't have to go on. It was written by Milton Meyer. The book is called They Thought They Were Free. It's about the German people between 33 and 45. And I am telling you that I see the same parallels in this country. When a president can grant billions and billions of dollars to cronies, and not one word of it is said, not one word of it is discussed by any of the candidates on the other side during all of these 15 debates, how much of the time has been spent talking about Solyndra and all of the other corruption? 1%? With these 16 or so debates, how much time has been spent talking about the scourge of illegal aliens, the crime and the costs? How much of the time has been spent talking about it? 2%, if that much? So you have to ask yourself, who is behind all of these debates? Do they really expect a Republican to win, or is it just sort of a fake charade about democracy when in fact the fix is in and the Democrats get another 4 years? Kansas City, Doc, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thanks for taking my call. First off, just want to say that I am not an Obama supporter in any way, shape, or form. I'm disgusted with what's going on in Washington right now. But I'm not hearing you say anything about other than Herman Cain. And I was a big Herman Cain supporter. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to get a chance with him. Who's left? We have nobody left.
Well, we have others left. I would say any one of the candidates would be better than Obama. Even if they gave us 40% of what we want, it's better than getting minus 20, isn't it?
Oh, I totally agree. But I think you need to be getting behind somebody because you're going to help us out. You know, we look to you as kind of a beacon, but we're not hearing that.
Well, how can I get behind somebody when these absurd debates keep going on and on and on, and they cut each other's legs out from under each other? When you see a rolling disaster called Newt Gingrich able to get away with a character assassination, and they won't stop him. Why should I get behind anybody? It's Mitt Romney's job to say, stop it, Newt. You're a disgrace and embarrassment. Get off the stage. That would also advance Romney's point if he stood up to that loser.
But unfortunately,
well, don't tell me you're supporting Newt Gingrich now.
McCain.
Sorry?
I said, unfortunately, Mitt Romney's aligned himself with the likes of John McCain.
I understand that, but remember what we were given last time. It was either John McCain or Barack Obama, don't you remember? I reluctantly had to support John McCain. A lot of good that did me.
Yeah, I was not a supporter of his. I was a supporter of Mike Huckabee. And this is well, the frustration.
Huckabee to me is just an entertainer. Strange. He's simply an entertainer, that's all. That's why Fox has him on. Fox specializes in hiring entertainers both before and after their major performance. All right, 1-800-449-8255. He has a great caller coming up because he's the only one who really remembers what went on December of 2010 before I broke my tooth. Chris in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I was wondering if you could go more into detail about your dinner with Mitt Romney.
Sure. I'm sure he regrets he had a dinner one-on-one with Michael Savage in that Italian restaurant in 2010. I mean, I'd be very happy to discuss it. I have nothing great to disclose, truthfully, but I will disclose a few things that I think are worth talking about. And in fact, I'm going to wait for the primaries to be completed before I post the picture of us having a nice dinner eating together, Mitt Romney and I, because at this point he won't have anything to do with me or my show, given that his advisors could work for a Democrat socialist tomorrow or for a communist the next day. It doesn't matter who they work for. They don't care whether he wins or not. They just assume he loses it, as long as they collect his money. That's how campaign advisors work. I don't care whether he comes on the show or not. It doesn't matter to me one way or the other. He's not going to say anything we haven't heard 1,000 times before. So what do I need him on the show for? What's he going to do, something for you or me? What's he going to say, something new? The man's running a straight down the middle course, hoping that the others will fall by the wayside, and he'll simply, by default, get the nomination. What we talked about, I raised the issues one after the other. First of all, let me start from the top. I liked Mitt Romney as a human being, sitting next to him, man to man, face to face. I was impressed with his humanities. Can I start with that? I can't say that about everyone I've ever met on the planet. Some people give me a very bad feeling. He gave me a very good feeling as a person. He showed up without a bodyguard. All he had were two aides who arrived before him. There was no heavy presence of bodyguards. Some of the phony talk show hosts have a heavier presence of security than Mitt Romney did. Of course, that's all for show, since nobody even knows who they are, but they make believe that they're running a banana republic and they run around with ex-Navy SEALs protecting them from themselves, I guess. He had no bodyguards. He didn't say to me, how's the veal in this restaurant? And I didn't say to him, it's the best in the city, try it. No, we didn't do that. I think I don't know what he ate. Did he say to me, how's the veal? And I don't know what he ate. He ate some Italian meal, some simple meal. He didn't splatter himself. I asked him about illegal aliens. I said, what do you feel about the illegal alien problem? And he said to me without a beat, he said, that's a difficult situation because he said, no matter what I say on that issue, I would be declared to be racist. I said, well, you have to be willing to say something about the biggest problem facing the American people in America, which is the swarm of illegal aliens in this country. And that's as far as that went. He wouldn't talk about it, and I didn't think he would during the general election. I must say to you that soon after the dinner with Mitt Romney in December of 2010, his people, in no uncertain terms, decided they would never, ever appear on this show, ever. They would never let him near the largest independent audience in America. Make no mistake about it. You can determine the course of this election. You know that? Do you realize that you can determine the course of this next election? Now, I'm not doing this to aggrandize myself. The show is a certain size. It's very large. I'm number two as a radio streaming radio show. It's a very big audience on the internet. I think that you could determine the course of the next election. And yet, how many of them have been willing to come on to this show? The answer is only Herman Cain. And even he was reluctant to come on. I think at this point, Herman Cain is simply a sideshow, an act. And it's sort of embarrassing to have seen him today on Abbott and Costello on Fox News. I mean, I really don't like watching him go through the 999 business. I think that Herman Cain should stop it and get back to a talk radio and just do another show and write a book, you know, and stop already with the presidential nonsense. Steve in Sacramento, KSTE calls. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael. I love your show. I listen to you often, and I wish that you would do the event of the century and host a presidential debate so a real smart genius like you asks the right question.
Yeah, of course I would host a debate. You think they're going to let me host a debate? Instead, they would rather have people who undermine them host a debate or someone who asks them the questions they wanted to be. Why would they submit themselves to a Democrat operative one after the other? Wolf Blitzer, an NBC person, the embarrassment of embarrassments, Diane Sawyer. Why would they submit themselves to these fallen angels? Why?
Because they're men in skirts.
I don't have an answer for it. I don't think they're men in skirts. I don't think they're less manly than the next man. I think that they're taking orders from Party Central. The Republican National Committee dictates to them an awful lot of what they do and where they go. It's the RNC versus the DNC. At the end of the day, it doesn't do any of us any good. I'll be right back.
Savage.
You want me to start doing the average stuff now? Okay, MSNBC is reporting with 1% of the votes in the primary in New Hampshire, Romney 37, Paul 26, and Huntsman 21. And then you go to a Fox. There's something wrong with this picture. Fox is saying with 1%, good Perry, it's a Caucasian caucus. That's why, because it has no... They may as well be doing a caucus in Iceland. It may as well be in Rachel, reporting from Reykjavik, Iceland, as far as I'm concerned, the Granite State. How long has it been since the Granite State predicted anything in the United States of America? I don't understand how the American people could be this naive and stupid to think this matters. I don't understand this. This is why I'm finding it harder to get up in the morning. It's almost impossible to get up in the morning when I have to look at this. Portland, Oregon. Brian, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Mike. Pleasure to talk to you. I don't know anybody, even in liberal Portland, that's going to vote for Obama. I mean, I'm not talking to anybody, public employees, liberals. I just don't see it happening.
Well, wait a minute. Let's back up. Do you say to them, are you going to vote for Obama? And they say no?
Point blank. That's correct.
Are they generally Democrat voters?
I would say some of them. I mean, I don't run with that crap.
Okay. Are they going to vote for a Republican? Do you know the day that? Can you tell me the day that any hardcore Democrat would ever cross over and vote for a Republican? I don't know when that day would arrive.
Well, I'm a convert myself. I mean, several years I've been conservative now, but. There was a time I voted Democrat, too.
No, but most Democrats would never vote for a Republican. They would feel that they're committing some kind of crime against their own family. They consider it a tribe, the Democrat tribe.
Right. Well, again, I...
But why are they disaffected from Obama? What did he not do for them? He wasn't socialist enough?
Well, I mean, it's a mess up here. I mean, you look at the economy, the housing, I mean...
I thought the economy was fixed yesterday. I was told it got fixed overnight. The very same people who created the crisis told us the crisis was over just in time for the primaries, that Obama fixed the economy and everything's booming and everything's coming up roses. I was quite surprised to hear that it occurred overnight. Thank you for the call. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Florida, we got one Florida caller there. James from WFTL, go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I'm a high school teacher in Florida and often discuss the dangers of marijuana with my students. I was calling because some of the information about the dangers of this drug I've gotten from your program, and on several of your shows you've commented that marijuana has a high concentration of metals that are found in the substance. And what I
want in heavy metals such as mercury, depending upon the soil in which the marijuana plant is grown. But that's not the most dangerous element, because some of this is hydroponically grown or grown and do not uptake the mercury. The primary problems to be found in marijuana smoke are far greater than those found in tobacco. What I'll do for you, James, is I'll have my webmaster, Art, if you're listening, please repost the article we had last week, The Chemicals Found in Marijuana Smoke. And then you can download it from that, James. That'll work for you, wouldn't it?
That would be great.
But you know, the problem is, though, if you printed it and gave it out in the school, you're liable to lose your job, because the pro-marijuana lobby is so powerful now in brainwashing our children. They're liable to say that you're some right-wing nut for pointing out the chemicals in marijuana.
hide the fact that I got it from your show, but I'd be proud to say I came from you.
I don't care where it comes from because I didn't make up the data. The data is known to everybody in medicine. Marijuana is the most dangerous of all drugs because people think it's not dangerous. I'll try to get that up on the website today. Again, with 1% in, 1% of the crackers have been interviewed as they've come out of the polling booths in the Granite State. And exit polls show independents sharply divided in the Granite State, with Romney narrowly leading. The rivals say he must win by a majority for the victory to count for anything going into South Carolina. When does this end? How long can this go on, bread and roses? How long can this Roman election go on? How many years can they run an election in America? Can it go on for 3 years next time? How many years can this go on? Can they make it a perennial election every 10 years? Can they run it every day for 10 years and force you? See, in a dictatorship, they actually force you to vote. In North Korea, if you don't vote, you get arrested and executed. In the United States of America, if you don't watch television to see who's running in which primary, you're not considered you're considered a security risk by the Department of Homeland Security, and that you might be visited by the Secret Service for not being sufficiently interested in the election. It could show leanings against the American state. And anyone who has such leanings is a potential enemy of the state. And you should be visited, absolutely. They just arrested a martial artist in the Midwest. Did you see that story? I just put it up on michaelsavage.com. Wonderful young man, married with children. He's a coach in a high school and a very fine mixed martial artist. He said some things about Obama. They fired him from his coaching job. They suspended him. And he was visited by the United States Secret Service. Now, of course, the Secret Service should be visiting all of those El Salvadorans that Obama just gave amnesty to, because I would say a certain percentage of the El Salvadorans would be members of MS-13, wouldn't you? Ask yourself that question.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome back to Savage Nation. So we're supposed to be concerned about what tells us about tomorrow, and we're supposed to get all excited about a few thousand people and what they think. I guess we'll be getting the results during this hour, and I'll be glad to share it with you. But you see, if any of them would be willing to get up on a soapbox and start screaming about Obama granting de facto amnesty to 315,000 El Salvadorans just this morning, 315,000 El Salvadorans scheduled to be thrown out of America because they came here illegally. Obviously, they committed a crime. Instead, Obama has granted them amnesty. Why? Because he wants them to vote, even though they're not citizens. Now, this is a primary issue in the United States of America, and none of them will talk about it, not even Ron Paul. So I rest my case. How can I get excited about an election? How can I get so excited about these caucuses and these primaries when there are certain topics of immense importance to the American people that are verboten? Verboten, they won't even talk about them. I want you to call this show and tell me five topics that the Republicans will not talk about. Forget the fact that Diane Sawyer, that shameful wretch, and that disgraceful operative of the Democrat Party, whatever his name is, Stephanopoulos, wouldn't ask these questions. The Republicans themselves have every opportunity to raise these questions whenever a camera is put near their face. They could simply say, you know, I'm outraged this morning. The president granted de facto amnesty to 315,000 people from El Salvador. That's a foul ball. He has to come to Congress for this. He is not a dictator. That would win the election for them. So I got to ask, why are they not doing it? Ask yourself why. We know why. I'll take your calls on these or any other topics. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Which other topics will they not talk about? Steve in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Michael, you were right on the dictatorship part. 2 years ago, Obama, the first president ever, and his minions granted Interpol not viable to our Constitution ever. And people don't realize what that means. It means
wait, hold it. You missed the word. They granted Interpol what?
He passed a law that states Interpol does not go by any of our constitutional laws, which means they can walk into anybody's house anytime, arrest you, and you don't have any recourse on our Constitution. First president ever to do that.
Well, he's the first president to do a lot of things, such as granting amnesty to 315,000 people who are not citizens without a word of protest from the U.S. Congress. Are we living in a dictatorship or even a putative democracy? There'd be some discussion.
Well, that goes into the dictatorship part. He wants his own army. He wants to do what he wants to do. Constitution, throw it out the window, and people are in trouble. They just don't get it. They don't grasp the concept. And that's why the schooling in this country.
Do you know that this morning he picked a woman named Cecilia Munoz, who was the former director of La Raza, the National Council of La Raza? She's now at the top of the council in the White House. She is heading his domestic policy council. Why would he pick a radical left-wing operative, an anti-American operative at that? Because La Raza does not stand for the United States of America. La Raza is an anti-American organization. They call it a Latino civil rights and advocacy organization. It is not a Latino civil rights and advocacy organization because not all Hispanics agree that illegal aliens should become citizens. By the way, most Hispanics do not want the illegals to become citizens.
Correct. I live.
All right. Well, I can say this until I bleed from the ears and the eyes, and it will have no difference whatsoever. The fact of the matter is it's not my job to say anything about it. The job is for the Republicans to be screaming about this, not me. But they're not doing it. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, the esteemed, the clean, the most honest and dignified woman in the history of the Democrat Party, Nancy Pelosi, praised the appointment of Cecilia Munoz, saying that Munoz had developed strong relationships with members of Congress and activists nationwide, and she has a sterling reputation as a powerful voice on behalf of comprehensive, compassionate immigration reform. Now, coming from Nancy Pelosi, that's quite a compliment. I would say that the birds of a feather flock together. Wouldn't you? New York, Randy, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Good evening, Dr. Savage. I'm calling for reasons that the Republicans, they're not going to talk anything regarding the signing of the NDAA. And also the deballing of the...
Okay, let me define it. National Defense Authorization Act passed New Year's Eve while America was drunk, giving the U.S. military the right to arrest and detain and arrest any American citizen on a pretext of violating national security.
Yes, sir.
So why are the Republicans not talking about that?
I don't know. The only one you can say is Ron Paul did mention it. Other than that, there's so many other reasons.
That's correct. To his credit, Ron Paul is the only one who spoke out against it. He spoke out against it, but not forcefully enough. A new film has just been produced by the disgusting, disgraceful Newt Gingrich, depicting Romney as a ruthless man. Romney is depicted as a financier more ruthless than Wall Street in a 28-minute film set to be released tomorrow in South Carolina, bankrolled by none other than Gingrich supporter Sheldon Adelson, chairman and chief executive officer of Las Vegas Sands Corporation, and for some reason a Gingrich supporter. I have no idea why Sheldon Adelson would be supporting a man as despicable as Newt Gingrich. I haven't any idea why he would do this. I have no idea what he would gain by this. Adelson has said many times that he would do anything to defeat Obama, who's anti-business. But if he thinks that Newt Gingrich is the right man for the job, I think he's mistaken. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's go to Joe in Honolulu. Nice to hear from you, Joe. Thanks for calling the program.
Thank you, doctor. A few more topics that these guys just will not touch. the illegality of these wars, especially what we did in Libya. And it seems like nobody wants to even mention the Israeli involvement in 9/11 and the collapse of Building 7.
Oh, please stop with this conspiracy nonsense. Why must you hate Jews? Does that make you feel good? Joe, does it make you feel good to say something bad against Jews? Does it give you support amongst your Nazi colleagues? I guess he's gone. You see, they can't answer any of this. They just want to get into thing like, did you cut it, Beowulf? I don't care if you did or you didn't. No, leave it on, because here's a guy who calls and makes believe that he's wanting to say one thing, and all he wants to do is attack Jews and say Israel caused 9/11. I guess he gets his rocks off by making believe he's a mini-Nazi, I guess. Who knows? Chicago, Illinois. Abe, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Good evening, Doc.
Yes, go ahead, Dave. You're on the air.
I wanted to wonder if you could draw any comparisons to that 1930s Germany you were talking about before, and the loss of our country. I would like to give you a Latin greeting, which is Nos Moriturri Salutamus. We who are about to die salute you. And
I don't know if that's a coded message, but I don't know exactly what you're asking. It's very convoluted, Abe. I read from the book They Thought They Were Free by Milton Mayer about how it was incrementally done to the Germans in the 1930s, that Hitler did not seize power and enact a dictatorship overnight. It was step by step and small step at that. And I was trying to show the American people what's going on in this country, and apparently you heard me, but is that what you're saying?
Yes, but my question is this. Realizing that the American people have been dumbed down over 40 years of democratic liberal public education, which has crept into the private education. In other words, we are accepting this tyrant in the White House because we are stupid. And under
no, it's because we don't have an opposition party. We have the semblance of an opposition party that is conducting a charade called caucuses and primaries. They should be at every whistle stop. At every debate, no matter what Democrat operative is put before them as a moderator, they should shut them up and say, shut your pie hole. I want to talk about what the president did over the weekend. It was illegal, and you should be asking me that. That would bring the House down, and that would get a Republican elected by a 70% majority if they were to awaken the American people. So you've got to ask yourself why the Republicans are not doing it.
Well, that's the obvious question, and here's the answer. Why do these Republican candidates parade like idiots in front of the liberal Democrat interviewers? The obvious reason is that they answer to the same bosses that Obama does. And your previous caller asked about the collapse of Building 7 at 5:30 in the afternoon on 9/11.
Oh, here
Nobody
we go again. Am I going to get now? Am I going to get now assaulted by Jew haters now about the Jews did that too?
No. I'm not talking about Jew haters. I'm talking about Building 7.
I'm not going to talk about 9/11 conspiracy. I will not do it, Abe. I just won't do it. Okay? Just please leave me out of that one. You can call NPR and give them your opinion. They would probably take it out of whole cloth. Another one. It's two in a row. So there's now a concerted effort now to undermine talk radio with these kind of crazy calls. That, you know, they're very clever. They start out sounding reasonable and intelligent, and then they slip in a 9/11 conspiracy theory. That's two in a row, baby. That's good. El Salvador's amnesty for 315,000 El Salvadorans who were scheduled to be deported because not only were they here illegally, but they obviously broke the law in some way. Obama said they can stay here. I will ask you why Romney, nor Gingrich, nor Paul, nor Santorum, nor Perry has mentioned that today. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Savage Nation. So I was the first to say that Newt Gingrich is in it because he represents the Democrat interests. I said it several weeks ago, and last week I got angrier, and I said he's like a rolling cannonball on the deck of the Republican ship, knocking out the legs of everyone else. He is exactly what he looks like, a nasty, evil, porcine human being, to be very clear. There's no question in my mind that the attacks he is conducting against Romney are to the advantage only of Barack Obama. There's no question that the film that's going to come out tomorrow, again attacking Romney for being a successful businessman, is something that the socialists themselves would be proud to have created. I've never seen anything like this class warfare that Gingrich is conducting and getting away with. It's amazing how he's still in the race, how he's not tarred and feathered and thrown off the platform. I'll take your calls on the Savage Nation. Tucson, Arizona. Petri, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, how you doing? Man, you know what? I'm infuriated by what you just reported on with these El Salvadorians getting this amnesty. Oh, my God.
315,000 El Salvadorans who were here illegally and scheduled for deportation because they obviously committed a crime. Obama, with the stroke of a pen, said we're not deporting you because of an earthquake in your home country in 2001. Where did our Constitution say a president is a dictator? Where is it written that there's no Congress?
You want to hear something worse that's going to get you all pissed off, too? I'm in Tucson right now, right? You know I live in California, right? Well, I'm working out here, and so I fly in and out. And when I drive into that airport, I see the U.S. flag, I see the Arizona state flag, and guess what else? I see the Mexican flag. Those, what? Oh, my God.
Well, I go to a boxing match, and I see a Mexican flag. It wouldn't have happened in my father's time. But then we're living in another time where there's no leadership. 1-800-449-8255. Pittsburgh, PA. David, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
I just want to thank the nice, fine taxpayers of Pennsylvania for supporting me in potato chips and Ramon soups and cigarettes while I was in prison recently, giving me $16 free a month, and as well as 14 other criminals in the Pennsylvania prison penal system. So I don't think it's right, but that's what they gave me.
I don't understand. You were in prison for what?
Retail theft.
And what is the purpose of the call?
Well, I was being facetious when I said they gave me $16 a month, as well as 14,000 other inmates as free money to purchase food, potato chips, snacks.
I see. So, is there any other point? Is there any other point to the call? I don't quite understand why you're on the show.
Well, that's an outrage in my book.
I see. Why? I hear you. I don't understand it, but I sympathize with you. Nevertheless, I'm on your side. So let's see. With 1% of the results in, I'm going to give you this. It's Mitt Perry versus John Gingrich, or is it Newt Santorum? I don't know anymore. It's Newt Santorum versus Rick Paul versus Ron Hudson against Newton. Newton, can you believe this? And all the while, Obama's getting away with anything he wishes to do. Anything and everything he wishes to do. He picks a lobbyist for La Raza for a White House policy directorship. He freezes deportations of 215,000, not 315,000, of El Salvadorans. How is it possible? How could one man have that much power? It's against the American way. It's not the American way for a president to have that power over so many people. Or is it? Where are the Republicans? The whole world is watching Paul, Huntsman, Gingrich, Perry, Romney, Santorum, any one of them has the opportunity to talk about this outrage, and yet none of them are doing so. They could do this right now. Latest results, Romney 38. Thank God the people in New Hampshire are onto that porcine human being. It's not that he's a fat slob that I resent. Let me put it to you this way. You know, it is something about his looks that get to me. Because you can tell an awful lot about a man by, at a certain point, the portrait of Dorian Gray becomes pretty much a portrait of the individual. When you see the girth of Newt Gingrich, what you see is a man who has fed himself on the fat of the land for too long. I never forget when I was a young school teacher, I had a older woman who said to me once, when I was attacked by another administrator who was very fat, she went on to my side as a young kid. She went on my side and she attacked them. And she said, you know, looking at you, seeing how fat you are, you can see that you're an individual who indulges yourself and can't control yourself, not physically nor mentally. And when you look at Newt Gingrich, you could see a man who has no self-control. That's what you see when you look at him. None whatsoever.
Savage. For all things news and talk radio, visit trncentral.com.
Mm-hmm.
Most polls have closed in the Granite State. Record turnout expected as most of the polls are now closed. And the ballot counting is underway in the Caucasian caucus. And here are the results. Romney, 38%. Crazy Ron Paul, 24%. Invisible Huntsman at 15%. The human cannonball Gingrich at 12%. The unknown Santorum at 10%. And the bumbling Perry at 1%. So apparently Romney has a very large lead. It's a very small number of people. With 3% reporting, you're talking about 10,000 votes so far. We're supposed to get excited over this tonight, run out to the bar for a bud and talk about this. This is astounding. I mean, I salute you if you can pay attention to this, because I'm having difficulty every day to get up, let alone do a show. They will not talk about the fact that the president acted like a dictator on New Year's Eve by passing the National Defense Authorization Act, giving the military the right to arrest and to detain any American citizen on the grounds of national security. They will not talk about the fact that Obama granted amnesty to 215,000 El Salvadorans this morning in order to appease the Hispanic mobs and to grant them the right to what, vote here? This is 215,000 El Salvadorans who were scheduled for deportation, obviously because they committed some type of crime in addition to breaking into the country. He said with the stroke of a pen, I'm not going to deport you. Where's Romney or Paul or Huntsman or Gingrich or Santorum or Perry on the most important issue facing America today? Where? They have an opportunity to talk about it. We're not living in a dictatorship, are we? What are we living in, a potato chip or a dictatorship? Boston, Massachusetts. Holly, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Savage. I was just going to tell you, I have asked Romney specifically, personally, what his stance is on illegals. He does say that not only would he deport, but until he gets control of the borders, he would...
Well, are you making this up just to make Romney sound better? I never heard him say that he would deport anybody.
If you Google my full name and LA Times, you'll find the story.
No, so, I'm not doubting you, but I mean, where does Romney stand on illegal aliens? What's his position?
He will deport, and until we get control of the borders, he will stand behind states who want to,
All right, then I would suggest that all of those of you who are Romney workers or Romney supporters, you motivate him to start speaking about the 215,000 El Salvadorans that Obama just granted a putative amnesty to this morning. That would be the strongest thing I could recommend. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Which topics will the Republicans not discuss other than illegal aliens? I mean, they brush on it. They let idiots like Diane Sawyer, a disgraced creature like her, lead them in any direction that she wants them to go when they have the power to say, now, wait a minute, Diane, hold it a minute. You're only a moderator. We're running for the highest office in the land. We're not going to take that red herring. Here's what I want to talk about, Diane. Now, what do you think Diane Sawyer would do if someone took the lead like that and showed leadership? They could do it without getting angry, but they didn't do that. Or that other creature from the Black Lagoon who worked for Bill Clinton. I mean, how many years ago was he disgraced as a nobody, a nonentity that nobody believes in? That guy from ABC, a long time ago. They don't have to listen to guys like Wolf Blitzer. They could look him in the eye and say, now, just hold on, Johnny. You're nothing but a talker there, and we're not going to answer your questions. You're an operative for Obama. And here's what I want to talk about. Their poll numbers would soar. They would hit the gong. They'd go off the charts. Even Democrats would vote for them for seeing somebody with guts. But they're not doing it. They're not doing it because apparently the big money really doesn't want to touch certain topics. John in New Hampshire from the Granite State, you're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, yeah, you know, I think Gingrich has a point about private equity that's not being considered. You know, I think the best case is to look at Harry and David. You know, and this is all, you can Google it. It's, been written about.
All right, so you're talking about Bain Capital. You're talking about the fact that they bet on some companies that succeeded and bet on others that didn't, and they busted them out. So isn't that what investment capital does?
Yeah, but no, but you got to distinguish. First of all, Bain had two different models. when they started out, they were venture capital, and that's what created Staples.
John, listen, you have no argument with me. I'm not a big fan of people who take over companies and fire people and shrink the workforce in order to show a profit and then throw everybody in the gutter. Don't put me in that category. I think they're criminals and should be arrested for that.
Yeah, but then that's I think, is Newt's point. You know, Bain, you know, the
Yes, but who is it coming from? Who is this criticism coming from? A fat slob like Newt Gingrich, who has dipped his beak into every special interest he could get his nose near? Who is he fooling?
Well, you got to give him his due. And in other words, a lot of...
Why do I have to give Gingrich his due when I think he's simply making it easier for Obama to get reelected? You know, if the Obama administration were running a candidate, could they do better than running Newt Gingrich?
If
the Obama administration had snuck a stealth operative into this primary game, could they have done better than Newt Gingrich? No, because he's doing more damage than anybody could imagine they could be doing towards against Mitt Romney. You're not saying Romney is a totally despicable man, I don't think, are you?
No, but I, in my opinion, Romney would be much easier. Romney would be that Obama candidate. I think he's the one that's easier to beat. I mean,
wait, I'm sorry. You think who could beat Obama more easily, Romney or who?
No, Obama could beat Romney more easily than he could beat Gingrich. That's my
opinion. Well, I don't happen to share that opinion. I think for the following reasons. Gingrich is very intelligent and very mean, which are two qualities that a politician must have. But he's physically very unappealing, and he's the poster boy for the old boy network. I don't know how many different ways that I have to say this. I'm a student of politics for many years. You know and I know that it's as much a movie star election as it is anything else. Are you saying that Gingrich's looks are not a detriment to his advancement?
Look, I've heard you. I've heard this argument from you, and I must admit, I hope you're wrong. But I think you do.
Oh, no, well, it's not you that I'm addressing that criticism to. I am talking about the 23-year-old woman out there who basically has no brains, nothing between her ears, who's going to go there and vote based upon looks. Who's she going to pick? Would she pick an old, fat, white man who looks like a poster boy for the old boy network? Or would she pick a young, good-looking black man who she's somewhat familiar with?
Yeah, well, look, but let's get, if we could, can we get back to Gingrich and
you know, you want to talk about policy issues, that's another story, but the average voter doesn't. They could care less what the policies are. The average American is not that intelligent. As Mencken said, no man ever went broke underestimating the intelligence of the average American, and nothing's changed in 70 years.
That's not your audience, and you're taking Gingrich to task for criticizing Romney.
Well, it's not so much that he's criticizing Romney, it's the way he is doing it, putting out attack ads that could have been created by the Democrat National Committee. The ads that he's taken against Romney, I think, have done permanent damage and will probably sink Romney's chances of getting elected should he be the nominee. And I think we can blame Gingrich for that. You know, even Ron Paul, who is no fan of Romney, came out and attacked Gingrich for those ads. Do you know that?
No, I wasn't aware of that, but I think the point still remains.
No, I mean, to Ron Paul's credit, he lashed out at Romney. At the critics of Romney, he attacked specifically, Ron Paul attacked Newt Gingrich for these despicable ads. Ron Paul gave an interview outside a Manchester polling place, and he lashed out at fellow Republicans for making unfair and ignorant attacks on Mitt Romney's business record. Listen to what Ron Paul said about Romney. He said, "I think they're wrong. I think they're totally misunderstanding the way the market works," Paul told the interviewer. "They are either just demagoguing or they don't have the vaguest idea how the market works." Ron Paul also came to Romney's defense for saying, "I like to be able to fire people." Here's what Ron Paul said. He said, "I think they're unfairly attacking him on that issue because he never really literally said that. They've taken him way out of context. He wants to fire companies. In Paul's view, Romney is right to say that he created jobs by restructuring companies." Here's what Ron Paul said. "I think they're way overboard on saying that he wants to fire people. He doesn't care," Paul said. "You save companies, you save jobs when you reorganize companies that are going to go bankrupt, and they don't understand that." Now, Newt Gingrich knows that very well. Now, you're telling me if you run a small business and you hire somebody who's a slacker, you should be forced to keep that person in your employ? You're telling me if you hire somebody who doesn't do his job, you shouldn't have the right to fire him? Of course you should fire him. That's what, never mind free enterprise, it's called common sense. You can't run a candy store with a lazy bum behind the soda fountain. So how can you run a business if you have employees who are lazy or not working? Take a look at this government that we have. How many of the middle management positions in this government were picked? How many of the people in the middle management positions were picked because they were sterling candidates? Or they were picked for other reasons such as their race or their gender or some other reason? Take a look at your government and see who's running your government. See who's running things. Go try to get something done with your federal government and see who you have to talk to. And tell me what their IQ is. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Look, I'd be doing you a disservice if I were to ignore what is going on in New Hampshire entirely, but I'm not going to overemphasize what's going on. It's a very small number of people, 6% reporting, 10,000 or so, 15,000 people. Romney's at 36%, Paul at 25%, Huntsman 15, Gingrich 11, Santorum 10, and Perry 1. Big deal, okay? Big, big deal. It's a Caucasian caucus. I'm telling you, it doesn't represent America. How in the world we have devolved to this point? We're two all-white states, but the fact of the matter is, how can you invest this much intellectual energy in such a situation as this, especially debates which are run by Democrat operatives such as Wolf Blitzer and George Stephanopoulos? How can you be involved with it to that extent, I ask myself. Let's go to the callers in these waning moments of the Savage Nation again. If you've just tuned in and you're interested in these sorts of things, with 6% reporting out of New Hampshire in the primary, you got Romney at 36% and Paul at 25%. That is a significant lead for Romney. It's not a hairline. It's a big one. And as things settle out and the rolling cannonball, Gingrich drops out, Perry drops out, and some of the others drop out, you're going to see Romney soar. Even higher. Then the real fun begins. If Romney wins New Hampshire, as he apparently is going to win, and then he wins South Carolina, what's going to happen next? Is he ever going to be willing to step up to the plate and attack Obama rather than attacking everyone else in the field or sitting there and taking their attacks? Unless he is willing to attack the administration for its excesses, and I can name them for you, the illegal aliens, the Fast and Furious scandal, the free trade nightmare with China. I can go down the list, the NDAA. One thing after another, but you don't hear a word coming out of his mouth on any of these things. So let me take your calls and see what you have to say about these things. Jake in Washington on the great WTNT. Welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say real quick that what Romney has done over at the Boehner companies, that should be the message that is a good thing. That's what we want with our government. We want him to go in and shrink our government, just like Perry had the message. He just couldn't remember the third agency he wanted to cut.
No, I agree with you. That's right. In other words, if the government were to look at some of its departments that are failing to perform and treat them as entities of a business and close them down the way Bain Capital did and stick with the winners, that might not be a bad plan. I hear you. Thanks for the call. We're getting reports that Romney will be declared the winner at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. I just got that from a high-placed source in the jungles of Fiji that he will be declared the winner, but that's pretty clear that he's so far ahead of everybody. He's going to win New Hampshire, and then we're going to see the victory parades tonight, and they'll eat the white bread with mayonnaise at the Romney campaign headquarters, and they'll drink the apple juice. I'm sorry. Is that what they serve at the Romney headquarters is white bread and mayonnaise and they drink apple juice? I can't help myself. You know, what would a victory celebration be at a Romney campaign headquarters tonight up in the suite mid and his supporters? It would be white bread and mayonnaise with apple juice. If it was Gingrich that won tonight with him and his mistress, I mean his fourth wife or something, No doubt it would be champagne and caviar and all of the excesses in life. If Ron Paul won, I don't know what would they drink a butt up there? I don't know. You know, but it's a pretty interesting thing. So can we, it would be crackers if Paul won. They would just have dry crackers. They would just have dry crackers if Paul won. And then he would say, well, we don't have time for celebration. It's on to South Carolina. You know, of all of them, whose celebration I would like to be at the most if they won tonight? Would it be Romney, Paul, Huntsman, Gingrich, Santorum, or Perry? Probably Perry. I think I'd have more fun in a victory celebration with Perry than all of them. Santorum's too grim. He has such a grimness about him. I mean, it's too much work in his life to have gotten where he is. And I think it's just made him a very, very grim guy. Looks like a very intelligent, good man, but just too grim. Definitely would like to celebrate with Perry tonight. I don't think I'm going to get the chance to do so. Wisconsin, Mark, you're up next on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Well, I'd just like to know the Electoral College, of course, with the states and the numbers and so forth, the insignificance of the small states and the lack of demographics for the entire country. Why right. Don't bigger states get looked at?
I don't understand it myself. It's something stuck that's from the past. How we can have an election based upon Iowa and New Hampshire is beyond me. I've been saying this for a long time now, Mark. It's quite disturbing to think that we get all excited over these states, but this is the way the system was set up, and I am certainly not going to be the one to change it. We know that Newt Gingrich should drop out for the sake not only of the party, which I could care less about, but for the sake of the nation. Newt Gingrich should retire and move to Macau with Sheldon Adelson. I think Newt Gingrich should just go to Macau and run a gambling casino. He could be a greeter at one of Adelson's casinos in Macau. That would be where he would bring in a lot of gamblers from China, I can guarantee you. Okay, can we relax now? Now that we know that Mitt won in New Hampshire, can we settle down now and go on? Oh, there's an article I wanted to tell you about, far more important than the Democrat operative in the Republican campaign, who was Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich is the parasite inside the intestine. Newt Gingrich is the worm inside the gut. Newt Gingrich is the Newt Gingrich is the parasite in marine fishes. I'm trying to warn you about never, ever eating raw fish again. I've told you never, ever to eat sushi. And I did some research for you on this. You must understand that this started with chefs who don't know anything about cooking, mainly idiots who went to the California Academy of Culinary Academy. And every time they serve you a piece of fish, it's raw on the inside. And every time they serve it to me and it's pink, and I send it back and say, I won't eat raw fish. And they tell me that's the way he cooks it. I said, who's paying for it, me or the moron with pimples in the kitchen who doesn't know how to cook? Now, why do I say that? Raw fish is a disaster. These are worms. And the fact of the matter is that raw fish is extremely dangerous. It's not necessarily true that the parasites you ingest from sushi will necessarily hurt you. But there is a likelihood that tapeworms in fish can infect people, and you may be one of those people. You must cook your fish to eliminate the possibility of parasitic infection. And that means cooking it to 140 degrees. That means cooking it until the fish starts to flake. That means never, ever again eat sushi. That means if you go out with your friends, tell them you don't eat raw fish, because much raw fish is infested with parasites. Okay, dare to stand up to the sushi eaters. That's my motto for tomorrow. Stand up to the sushi eaters. Don't eat sushi. It's bad for you. I wanted to tell you this because you're not being told the truth about parasites and fish. And I thought it's very important now that we see that there are parasites in the political system to understand that there are parasites in fish as well. All right, so you got everything you need to know so far in the Savage Nation. Romney wins New Hampshire, and now it's on to South Carolina and more mudslinging by the porcine cannonball Newt Gingrich. I was the first to tell you Newt's only in it to destroy Romney, because as far as I can tell, he's going to get some kind of deal from the Obama administration after it's all over. That's where he got the girth from.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content,
psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Romney, Paul, Santorum, Gingrich, Huntsman. Oh, who will it be? Romney, Paul, Santorum, Gingrich, Huntsman. Announcing the big winner, it's Michael Savage. The big winner tonight is illegal immigrants and Barack Obama. Apparently, Rush Limbaugh is listening to Michael Savage. A few weeks ago, he was gung-ho Newt. Now he's saying Newt's only in it to target Romney. Now, it's said that Rush listens to no show, but we know that's not true. If he didn't listen to my show, he wouldn't know which way the wind was blowing. I've been telling you that Gingrich is a rolling cannonball on the deck of the Republican ship, striking everybody in the legs. And he is no doubt doing a deal with Obama. What is Obama doing? He's the one who should be attacked. The man had the nerve to grant an amnesty to 215,000 El Salvadorans scheduled for deportation. Do you think he's doing it because he wants them to vote for him? Illegally, of course. Yeah, hello. And who did he pick as a White House policy director? None other than Cecilia Munoz, former director of La Raza. La Raza means the race. Speaking of the illicit, immoral, indecent Democrat Party, former President Carter praises the elections in Egypt. He dismissed concerns about the success of Islamists, saying it's terrific because it's what the people want. Well, that would be like saying that's great that Adolf Hitler won because it's the will of the German people. I don't know what they're drinking down in Jimmy Carter's Georgia, but I know it must be stronger than strychnine. What else is in the news? Romney, Paul, Santorum, Gingrich, Huntsman. Romney, Paul, Santorum, Gingrich, Huntsman. Who will it be? Big winner, Barack Hussein Obama and the illegal aliens who are going to reelect him. Certainly not the American people. Well, let's see what else is in the news for you to digest today in this crazy world that we're living in. I know you think you're free. Did you see the story on MichaelSavage.com that's gotten no play? I had to go to Russia today to find the story. The DHS is now collecting personal information about journalists in the name of security. That's right. Big Sis Napolitano is watching journalists in the name of national security. Would you believe the day would come that you'd have to go to a Russian source to find this out? Would you believe this? Big Sis Napolitano is monitoring the media. Can you believe this? Now, of course, when you say that, it means they're only monitoring the very small conservative media. They don't need to monitor the shills on the left. Is this what you liberals wanted when you voted for hope and change from the White House? This is beyond belief. This is incomprehensible. You think I'm making it up? Homeland Security monitoring journalists. It's on MichaelSavage.com from Russia today. Yeah, from Russia with love. Obama's new chief of staff, a former hedge fund manager who profited from mortgage defaults. Is this what you meant by hope and change or shuck and jive? Iranian TV loves Ron Paul. It features his anti-Israel rants. Go, Ron, go. That's what you want running America? An Islamist? Instead of attacking Obama, which is what they should all be doing, they're attacking the lead. Mr. Romney, Obama lets 215,000 El Salvadorans stay in the United States illegally to vote. And where's Congress? What Congress? Illegal alien drank smoked pot before fatal crash. Farmers sue Corzine over missing millions. Good luck. United Kingdom government that has banned Michael Savage admits that illegal immigration and immigration keeps Britons out of jobs. It's the first official examination of the impact of immigration. photos from the White House's Alice in Wonderland party. Go take a look at them. The White House tried to cover it up. Take a look at what goes on. I'll never watch another Johnny Depp movie as long as I live. They drank out of blood vials? That's really frightening. U.S. ship rescues Iranians at sea once again. I'm not making this up. Savage says dictator Obama coming out of his chrysalis. This is all on michaelsavage.com. Go to the site. Let me go to the bottom of the site quickly before you get bored. Never eat raw fish. Never eat sushi again. There are parasites in marine fishes. Did you hear what I just said? Never eat sushi again. Uncle Savage warned you. If you wind up with a fluke in your guts, it won't be any different than the fluke in the White House.
You go after Romney for laying off people at Bain Capital, mm-hmm. correct?
Yeah, well, for lots of things related yeah. to, that, to his role at Bain
Capital.
But
that's one of them.
For that, for no, but outsourcing let me ask you about jobs, that. For...
Is the president responsible for laying off the people at Solyndra?
No, because the president wasn't the CEO of Solyndra.
The president was a venture capitalist. He put taxpayer money into Solyndra, and 1,000 people okay. lost their jobs. So is the president responsible for the 1,000 people who lost their jobs at Solyndra?
Not even close. Mitt Romney is responsible for being CEO of companies that he took over, that he dismantled.
He wasn't the CEO. He put money into them.
No, he was the CEO of Bain. Bain bought these companies, took them over.
Well, the president's the CEO of the country.
But he's not the CEO of Solyndra.
So you're saying the president has no responsibility for what happened at Solyndra?
What I'm saying is that Mitt Romney, as CEO...
I'm asking about the president.
No, the president...
Has no responsibility for Solyndra.
The president has responsibility for the Green Jobs program that where he made investments.
Wow, you know how much that irritates me. Well, imagine how your throat will get this winter without Pine Brothers Softish Throat Drops. That's right. I'm talking about Pine Brothers Softish Throat Drops we all grew up with. They're back in natural honey and wild cherry flavors. Pine Brothers has been a trusted brand since 1870. Visit them on the web at pinebrothers.com. That's pinebrothersyum.com.
Savage.
I'll tell you what I want to do as a special treat to my listeners, those loyalists who listen every day for wonderful programming like this. Remember I was talking about the life coach thing a little earlier, that it's a new trend for people to become life coaches and you don't need a credential. And if you have like a crisis or a question, you don't know who to turn to. Okay, I'm going to be Dr. Michael Savage, unlicensed life coach. And you could call 1-800-449-8255 with your question, whatever it is, boyfriend, girlfriend, mother, father, child, travel you don't want to take, travel you do want to take. Something that you want an answer to. So make believe that you're not on the radio when you call. Make believe you're calling a private number and you're paying for it. And you're going to get thousands of dollars of advice absolutely free right here on the Savage Nation if you're lucky enough to be cut through the call screener. It's got to be a legitimate question. Try not to make it too comedic. Leave the jokes to me, okay? Rooney in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage.
Yes.
I wanted to thank you for bringing up the topic of coaching. I've been making my career in that field for many years on the business coaching side.
Interesting. Rooney, how much do you charge an hour?
Well, usually I work by the task, but hourly rates go anywhere from $185 to $450.
And what do? You take a 15-minute minimum, like a lawyer?
Yes.
I spoke with a woman who expressed to me that there are people making a lot of money as unlicensed therapists by calling themselves coaches. And there's a huge void of, there's a huge need for this, apparently, in that people aren't going so much to hear what their psychological problems are as to get advice in their life, such as what to do with a job or what to do with a relationship or what to do with regard to, anything that comes up in a human life. And they don't have anyone to turn to. They may not have a father figure. They may not have a brother they can turn to, a husband, a lover. The male figure is gone. And I'm talking from a male perspective. I'm sure there are women doing very well in this. But the male coach, the male life coach, is an interesting phenomenon. How do you build a practice? I could do it overnight because I have a radio show. I don't want to do it. But on the other hand, it's an interesting concept. So I said that I'm going to let you have thousands of dollars worth of information for free. I'm going to play life coach, see how I do, and see if I give you advice worthwhile. So now make believe you're calling an 800 number, and you've paid your cost to whoever answers, whatever my fee might be. It would be very expensive, I'm sure, as much as any attorney gets, if not more. And I'm going to give you advice. I'm a life coach now, Michael Savage life coach. So let us begin with any caller. I mean, I have tremendous callers here. It's a fascinating interest, what's going on here, by the way. Spokane, Washington. Dee, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, I'm 45, and I have been working as a nanny for the last 10 years and to put my daughter through college and private school. And now she's about ready to graduate, and then my son is going to go to college, but he's getting a scholarship. So I was interested in maybe going back to school, but I don't know, with the recession, do you think at my age, I don't know, I just need advice.
All right, well, that's an interesting question. How old are you?
I'm 45.
And you've been a nanny for 10 straight years?
Yes.
And when you say nanny, you mean for children? Because there are nannies who take care of older people now. I want to define carefully what you mean by that.
For children. There's three children, and they're...
All right. It's a very interesting question. Are you an American citizen?
Yes.
And may I ask you how much you're earning as a nanny?
Like $24,000 a year.
After 10 years. Okay, you're not making a lot of money. I think they're underpaying you, by the way. A manual laborer in San Francisco makes more money off the books than you're making, which is an embarrassment and an insult to this country. Manual workers doing ditch digging here make $20 an hour. Illegal aliens are getting $15 to $20 an hour in this city. So I can understand why you're thinking about it. However, going back to school is a long road. You're not going to make any money while you're in school, and there's no guarantee there's anything waiting for you when you come out. However, you are an expert in child care now. That's what you're an expert in, correct?
Yes, but I don't really want to go into that. My interests are interior design, photography, and stuff like that.
All right, here's a big thing. Don't confuse an avocation with a vocation. This is a common mistake that people make. In other words, in America, in the heyday, when everybody could do anything they wanted and make a living, the advice was follow your loves, follow what you like, and, you know, the world will follow. It's not true anymore. The chances of you making money as an interior designer or a photographer are very low because these fields are filled with very talented people who have been around a long time who are suffering right now as a result of the downturn in the economy, and they're not making a living themselves. You can do those things as a hobby. I would not recommend you do them as a career. If you want to make more money, I would stick to what you know best, which is child care. So, in other words, I'm not telling you to leave your field. I'm telling you to work smarter. Don't just be a nanny for a family. Why don't you set up a child care facility and get other children into the child care facility and then hire people to work for you in this child care facility, so you become an owner, manager, boss. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yes.
That would be my advice, and I can't give you any further advice at that point. Denver, Colorado, this is Michael Savage, life coach. Joe, welcome to the program. What's your question?
Yeah, hi, Michael. I've been doing some painting last maybe 10 years, artist kind of painting, and since my dog died, I've lost that kind of creative desire. I still want to, but like there's this like emptiness.
Yeah.
So I'm not really pursuing it very much. There's a desire, but there's no real no motive.
But when your dog was alive, your dog was your only inspiration for your painting?
Well, no, he filled a real void. So when he died...
Okay, so, I mean, the logical answer is get another dog. I mean, you know, it's like saying it's not going to be the same, but eventually you'll bond with that animal, and you'll come to love that other animal, and maybe this spark of desire to live again will come back. You are grieving. You are in bereavement, the same as if a person loses a friend or a parent or a child, God forbid, or a mate. You're going through the same exact grieving process. This is why you're not painting anymore.
Right, but you don't get another kid or another parent. It's kind of like...
I understand that, but listen, you can't just get another kid or another parent, but you can get another dog. That dog is gone. That dog is in another world. And all of the crying and all of the what you're doing over the dog is not doing you any good, is it?
No, because I've kind of been drinking a little bit.
Well, all right, so you're drinking. There's no shame in that either. I mean, alcohol was discovered for a reason. But there's a limit to that, okay? You need to get a dog in your life if that's what you love. I mean, is a dog what you love? The dog was what you loved?
Well, it was this particular dog.
I understand, but there's not going to be the same dog, but there's going to be some other animal that's going to come in your life if you like animals. So my recommendation, what kind of dog was it?
He was a kind of a beagle-foxhound mix.
But, Joe, if you go to a local pound where they're euthanizing animals every day, beautiful little animals, beautiful little friends, waiting for someone to just take them in and do anything for them, all they want is your love, Joe. You're going to find a dog that might look like the one you had. And, of course, at first it's going to be strange. It's like coming home with a new girlfriend. I mean, you know, you can't suddenly fall in love with someone because she's a girl. You have to have a relationship with that individual. It's the same with an animal. You'll build it up. You know, you take him for a walk. You give him food. You throw him a bone. You throw him a toy. You rub him a little bit. And before long, you're creating a bond with that animal, Joe, and you're going to have the same feelings again. Again, that's the only advice I can give you at this time. How's my driving? Call 1-800-SAVAGE. No, I'm very good at this. I know it. I'm like the uncle of the nation. I know that. Everyone knows that I know what I'm talking about. They can tell by my political analysis that I'm right. And as far as life analysis, I'm giving you advice through the airwaves, okay? So where do I have the audacity to tell you that I know what would be best for you? It comes from the feeling that there's common sense in the world and there's a lack of common sense in the world. And I believe that I have been gifted with common sense. It was ingrained in me. It was taught to me. My father was a very commonsensical man. He taught me how to think for myself. And I've learned, I believe, what is, I would call, commonsensical solutions to problems. I started in radio back in 1994 in San Francisco, and of course now I have a monster national audience. But I thought it would be interesting to take a look at where the Savage Nation was born. Joining us right now in the Savage Nation to talk about my phenomenon is San Francisco media reporter Rich Lieberman. Rich Lieberman, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great to hear your voice, and thanks for having me on again.
Why do you think I resonate so much with listeners in the San Francisco Bay Area, even with people who think of themselves as liberal?
Well, as I have said many a times, I think your show transcends politics. I think it's more of a cultural program than it is a mere political program. If it was merely politics, we wouldn't be talking right now. All anybody has to do is to listen to your show and see that it is not merely a political show. Because if it was just politics, then I don't believe that you would have the sort of force that you built up in the not only in the Bay Area, but of course beyond the Bay Area and into the national limelight. It is more cultural, more traction, lots of buzz that has excited me and made me interested, and I've been accused of slobbering all over you, but the fact of the matter is it's an entertaining show, and for all the people out there who are listening right now, they know what I'm talking about, and geez, I wish to have you back here in the Bay Area, but that's something we can expound upon later on.
How has the state of radio changed in San Francisco and across the nation in terms of politics?
Well, first off, I think radio in general right now is pretty boring. It's the same repetitious cycle of shows with some of the other guys. It's all pretty much repetitive radio. You know, they have a certain political bent, and that's about it. They don't go into or evolve into any other elements that you delve into. And I got to tell you, I think it's unique, and I've been castigated by my liberal friends and even my progressive friends. I think there's a big difference, by the way, who have accused me of a sort of falling into your prey, if you will, And I enjoy your program, and I think it's unique, and I think it's interesting and entertaining. And I have been bamboozled for having that dare I say that in liberal San Francisco and in the Bay Area. Liberal is such a banal word. There's a lot of liberals that listen to your show, Mike, including myself. And by the way, if I'm liberal on some issues, I can be very conservative and extreme on other issues. I think it's each subject has its own kind of identification. So as I said earlier, just talking about you in a political sort of sense or a political choreography, if you will, is really not about the Michael Savage show. If most people who listen know that already.
When you admit to people in San Francisco that you like Michael Savage's show, what kind of reaction do you usually get from the tolerant liberals?
People castigate me, as I said earlier, because I dare say I do your show. It's the fourth time I've been on your program, and if those who are regulars who listen, I listen to you, and while I don't agree with a lot of what you say, I think, as I've stated numerous times now, you got to take something by the whole sum of its parts, and your rants are entertaining and informative, and if even liberals had a sense of humor here in the Bay Area and beyond, then they might be quite energized and quite exhilarated by your repertoire. So, but to specifically answer, the people here who are progressive have threatened me with turning off my forum and not following me on my blog because I have the audacity to not only let them know that I'm appearing on the Michael Savage program and Savage Nation, but that they will not ever read my offerings anymore. It's just a complete ridiculous situation, and I would think more of those type of people who claim to have tolerance as their middle name are not showing any kind of tolerance in this arena. It's quite puzzling, to be quite candid.
How far do you think it really goes in terms of an effort to block me from appearing on Bay Area Waves, Radio Waves?
Oh, I think it's incredibly pronounced. I think, first of all, I'm very controversial myself here. I think if you're interesting, if you're unique, if you have ratings, which you obviously do, and buzz, then it's foolish and bad business not to put you in the market. And as I have told you numerous times, and nobody has paid me, you haven't paid me. This is my own particular belief, and I'm not the only person in the Bay Area who believes this, that as others in the nation, in the big cities like New York, already know, and as I stated earlier, radio is pretty boring right now. I mean, that's why they call it terrestrial radio. So, Michael, I would hope that this is the beginning of something in the future, that a radio programmer who has feelings about what the general public has already stated by listening, that you'd be back here in the 415 just as soon as possible.
Rich, you know and I know I have the best show in radio, but what do I bring to a San Francisco audience in your mind and a national audience that no one else does?
Interesting, informative, unique content and thoughts and sayings and tidbits that nobody else would say. Of which I may add, again, I do not agree with a lot of what you have to say, but you know what? You got me. You got me because you are interesting, and people are going to accuse me of succumbing to your spell, if you will. But I just like listening. I would listen to more and more people, no matter what political persuasion I was going to. Politics is not everything. It's certainly a major topic, but I go for entertainment, and you make me laugh. You transcend politics and really are a cultural diversion and a cultural enhancement to a general audience, and I would think most people who listen, again, know what I'm talking about.
Where can we read more?
The easiest thing to do is to Google Rich Lieberman, that's L-I-E-B-E-R-M-A-N, 415 Media, or they just Google 415 Media. they will get to my media blog and they will find out all the information about TV, radio, and the internet.
Rich Lieberman, thanks for joining us today on the Savage Nation.
Michael, it was great talking to you, and we'll speak to you soon.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
Texas Ronald, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage. I've been unemployed for over about a year now. And basically, to be honest with you, I've become a recluse and have left the house in about a 15-month period about three times, one for a funeral and two other times.
You're starting to sound like a talk show host.
I see all these commercials for all these drugs that they're pushing on TV. I just don't buy into that.
Well, I can't comment on that. I'm against such drugs. I don't think that they're very beneficial, number one. But if you're staying at home and you become totally reclusive, I joke about it. I do go out. How are you going to find gainful employment if you stay at home?
Yeah, that's true. I use the internet to, look up certain job sites and everything. But that
hasn't worked out, has it?
No, sir, it has not.
What kind of work did you do?
Structural engineer.
Oh, you're an engineer by training?
Yes, but I think it's more of a. I think I'm basically I used to go out all the time. I had a good social life. All the friends that I did have, I still have them. They think I'm still working. They think I haven't reached out to anybody.
Okay. You're feeling ashamed. It's a shame that a man with your education shouldn't be of use to a society like this instead of giving jobs to illegal aliens. It's sickening. I'm sure there's a place for you right in your own community. You just answered your own question, by the way. Just talking to me for less than 2 minutes, you answered your own question. You just said to me you haven't even talked to your old friends who think you're working. And it's because you have pride. You don't want them to know that you're out of work. You're going to have to swallow your pride. You're going to have to take a shave, a haircut, put on some nice clothing, get together with your friends for a beer somewhere, and you're going to say, I've recently lost my job. Do you guys know of anything? Let's start networking together. I will bet you that within 3 months, you're going to wind up on your feet again.
Hey, can I ask you something else? Basically, I don't know why. I just become inclusive. And when I do go out, for these three times, Dr. Savage, in the last 15 months, I get these panic attacks. Is it a learned? I've never been like this. I used to be out going.
Well, it's because the whole core of your being fell out. In America, perhaps in most of the world, a man identifies with his profession, his career, his work. And when you lose that core, it's like the center of your being falls out, so you feel frightened because, the core of your identity is gone, Ronald. You mean, after all, didn't you go to college?
Yes, I did.
And how many, you got a bachelor's and another degree or just a bachelor's?
Bachelor's.
In engineering?
Yes, doctor.
And the years you were working, were you an engineer?
Yes, I was.
So you're feeling embarrassed that you're no longer working as an engineer because the building trades have died off. But with your background, with your education, there's no reason that you can't go out. Now, as far as the anxiety goes, I would think that you need a little crutch to get you over this hump. And I'm not a big believer. I would go to a doctor. I would tell them exactly what you want to do, which is meet your friends, talk with them about networking, but you're a little afraid because you have anxiety. I would say that a crutch during this period for that anxiety is a good idea. How do you like that? In other words, there is a place for psychiatric medication in our lives. It's just knowing when to use it and know when to drop it. That's as far as I would go, Ronald. I hope I've been of some use to you. So general listeners, you're listening to the show, don't you like the way I'm handling this? I mean, that what I just said made sense to that man. I would never have taken that call if I didn't think that I had some, something to help him with. Portland, Oregon. Cheryl, welcome to the Savage Nation. Your question, please.
Dr. Savage, my niece is 40 and fairly obese. She's pregnant, and I would like your opinion on having a baby at a water birthing center compared to a hospital.
Has she had children before?
No. And she's had two miscarriages.
Okay. Well, what does her obstetrician recommend?
I have no idea. She's out of the country right now, and she's coming home in a month. And this is what she thinks.
See, I would never hazard a guess with regard to a third-party question like this, because this is a health question. Health questions are notoriously foolish to answer on a radio show, so I'm going to defer. Thank you for the call. In fact, I will not answer health questions. No questions about health, because that's a whole different area. You understand? Mississippi, Laura, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, my husband and I stay home with our two small children. We're a single income family, and we're currently swamped with medical bills due to my ulcerative colitis. And we can't decide if I should try to get a job teaching my degrees in education just to get that double coverage insurance, but it would only basically pay enough to put my two small children in daycare. So,
mm-hmm. But wait a minute, hold on. If we're talking about this in terms of the quotient of the medical plan that you'd be gaining through the job, how much is that going to be worth to your family? A lot?
Well, with the cost of my medical bills, yes, we're swamped with my medical bills right now.
Well, I think, again, you've answered your own question. Although the money you earn will only pay for child care, the medical plan that you will be getting by going to work will greatly aid your family's finances, would it not?
Yeah, it would help with my medical. I'm so worried about.
All right. So how old are your children?
Almost 3 and 14 months.
Well, 14 months is a little young to be put in child care. I think that's your real question, correct?
Yeah, definitely.
The real question is not whether you should work or not. It's whether you should leave your children or not. Isn't that correct?
Yeah. That's the big thing. We didn't have.
Well, you're at a real crossroads, because nobody would recommend you leave such a small child in the hands of a child care facility. On the other hand, you're desperate, and you need the health plan that you get from a job. So I don't have a direct answer. Have you discussed it with your husband?
Well, we have health insurance for his job, but if we had two health plans, then it would, cancel.
Yes,
out a lot.
Yes, of course. It would give you additional coverage, and you'd be able to get a little breathing space. Last question. Do you have anybody in your family who could watch the young child while you're working?
No.
Oh, boy. Well, I'm going to hazard a no guess on this one, Laura. I have no advice on this. It's too personal a question. And I'm sorry I can't help you any further. I mean, there's certain... I'm not going to fire from the hip here. A young child like that, I don't think I would leave at home. But on the other hand, the poor woman needs a medical care. I almost feel like raising, money on the show. What if I turned it into like a money-raising show? God, I'd be busy, wouldn't I? Here's a tough one. I've been waiting not to take this call because it's going to be a heartbreaker. I can see it coming. Fresno, Aaron, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, I'm approaching an end-of-the-life situation with my cat. And we've been, he's been real close to me. And
right.
He could go today or go tomorrow. Or
right.
Week. But we're
right.
Getting real close. And I don't think I can stand taking him to the vet.
No, I understand that. How old is your cat?
11.
But it's a part of you. And you can't, the idea of euthanizing the animals like killing yourself.
Yeah, oh yeah. And kill me.
Well, are you accepting the fact that life is let me put it this way, that life is terminal for all of us?
I understand that. I haven't really dealt with a lot of death in my life, though.
Well, I think that this is part of the problem with people and their older and their pets, is that yes, they have affection and fondness for their animals, but they're also facing their own mortality at a time in their life when their mortality is not really a current issue. And they're really grieving for themselves and for the whole concept of the sufferings of humanity, the Buddhist wheel, as they say, which is that we're born to die. It's a horrible question. It's something that nobody really wants to face, but it's the birth of philosophy, and it's also the birth of all religion is based upon this one single question. And there is no single answer for it. There are many answers for it. But to get back to the pragmatics of your animal, I can only say to you, if your animal is suffering, you have a decision to make. Is the animal suffering?
Not yet. He's just, I can see he's starting. He's coughing a lot, but it's only once a day, but for like 10 minutes.
I hear another animal in the back. Do you have a dog?
No, actually, I'm taking a walk through a neighborhood, and the dogs are...
Oh. You know, I was at a dog show a couple of weeks ago, and I love the Irish wolfhounds, but I know they live 5-6 years only. So I said to a breeder, I said, but God, I love that animal. My friend had one, and he only lived to 6, and he was one of the most magnificent animals I've ever seen in my life. She said, well, I have a 20-acre ranch in southern Oregon. She said, I raise big dogs. I have big dogs and little dogs. She said, because you need a mix of both, because the little dogs outlive the big dogs. In other words, going into having a pet is going into the mortality issue, and you're going to lose them at a certain point. The only question that becomes operative is the animal suffering? Once the animal starts to suffer, I think the decision is already made, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Well, so that's the issue. If the animal's not suffering, so, you know, comfort the little creature as long as you can and start to accept the fact that he's going to have to, you know, at some point you're going to have to let go.
Yeah.
But again, the issue here, the operational word is suffering. Suffering is the issue. They're not humans. Thanks for the call. So, you know, I had a dog before, my dog Teddy, named Snowy. I loved that dog. Teddy, you shouldn't listen to this. Snowy was a Sheltie, a little collie. And ever when I was a little boy in the Bronx, I used to love the show Lassie. So when I got this Sheltie, which is a miniature collie, the kids were very young, and I remember to the day that she was dying, that I remember the dog being a little Lassie, jumping over posts. I trained her to jump over fences behind the house and walking. And, you know, Lass, no, he's not. And this dog became, the children grew up, they moved away, they went to college, and I was left with the Snowy. She became my best friend. I mean, loyal like you can't believe. Savage.